Evening. If you can turn to Acts chapter 1 with me, read a few verses from that chapter from verse 7 through to verse 9. That's page number 1092 in your Bibles, if you have a church Bible. This is Jesus, and he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. "And you shall be my witnesses." As you know, we've been going through a series following the Alpha Talks. And of all the Alpha Talks, I think this is one that's worth repeating again and again. And you would say, he would say that, wouldn't he? But even in my own life, I know that the one thing that does slip, the one thing that does leak, is my witness. And they need to be just re-envisioned concerning that. And the title is, "Why and How Do I Tell Others?" And this is not a message to send you on a guilt trip. It really is a message to re-envision and to excite you about the things of God. So let's pray and ask the Lord to do that, shall we? Father God, thank you for revealing yourself to us, Lord. Thank you for loving me, for sending your Son to die for me, that I could be forgiven and reconciled to you and be sure of heaven. Lord, remind us again, Lord, of what you did for us as we turn to you now and ask you to touch us, to teach us, to train us, to help to tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's fine for people to believe what they like, right? And but why? Why do Christians have to go and tell everybody else about what they believe? Surely, faith's a private thing, isn't it? Somebody might say, "Well, you know, my uncle Arthur, for example, he's a Christian. He doesn't go tell everybody about what he believes." But you have to ask the question: who told Uncle Arthur? Someone had to tell someone else. So why tell others? Firstly, and quite simply, is because, as we've just read, Jesus told us to. Jesus died, and he rose again from the dead, and then said to his disciples, "Go and tell people about this amazing news. That God loves you. That you can be forgiven. That you can be set free. That you can have eternal life." It's wonderful news to tell people. And guess what? He had no other plan to reach the world and tell the world but to use you and me. He's taken a big risk, hasn't he? But he does call us to join him in this, to go and tell him what he's done for each of us. And you have to ask why we don't. Because it's very clear, the Bible uses the word "go," I'm reliably told, 1,514 times in the Bible. The New Testament, it's 233 times. And in Matthew's Gospel alone, it's 54 times. In other words, it's there a lot. Jesus says, "Go and tell." Then he says, "Go and invite." And then he says, "Go and make disciples." You need to be people on the go. But there are other reasons why Christians tell people about their faith. The second reason is because of our love. Our love for God and our love for others. Have you noticed when your love for God deepens, you begin to love other people as well? When we love God well, we can love others better. And that's the secret of true Christian witness is to be lovers of God and talk about him to others. And this is an elementary first commandment principle, isn't it? Does it say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength? And Jesus then later adds, and love your neighbor as yourself. I want to introduce you to a formula that I use in the training course that we do, the Contagious Christian course. Some of you will know this quite well. And it reads this way: HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. Some of you are smiling because you know what it means, but let me explain as we go along this evening. First of all, HP focuses on this issue of loving God and being in an intimate fellowship with him. HP stands for high potency. A life that is potent, a life that is dynamically connected with God, a life that's lived in intimacy with God, that oozes out a love for God and a desire for him, authenticating the message that we have to share with other people. An authentic love, relationship with God, and a life that shows it. It's our love for God and his love for us that propels us. What's that word? Synecdoche? Pushes us out. Makes us want to reach out to other people. And there are people all around us. You know, you don't have to go very far to find people who need to hear that God loves them. They're everywhere, aren't they? Everywhere you turn, there are people there who need to hear God loves them. There are people who are struggling. They're struggling to find meaning, struggling with shame, struggling with guilt, spiritual pain. And you'd be surprised how many people live in fear of death. And we have the answer to that as well. There may be somebody here tonight who's struggling one of these ways. Hopefully, as you listen in, you'll hear there is an answer. It's found in Jesus. And when you and I have found the answer in Jesus, it's only natural then to want to go and tell people about it. It's like when you find a cure for cancer. You can't keep that to yourself, surely, when people are dying all around you, at the risk of dying as well. And we have the cure to people's needs. It's found in Jesus. So, we go and tell people because Jesus told us to. We go because of our love for him and his love for us. And our love for others. And thirdly, we go because it's simply good news. It's good news. And what happens to good news? It travels fast, doesn't it? Think of some of the things that happen that we find going rapidly around, say, the life of the church. For example, somebody has a baby, you know? Very, 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 very quickly you learn everything about this baby. You know, so when the parents come and show the baby, we can tell them everything in advance. Say, hey, we know the weight, we know the name, we know the sex. And it's also the same when a spiritual baby comes into the life of the church. I remember one occasion having the opportunity to lead someone to Christ and wanting to tell a couple of people in our church. And I told the first person, they were really excited. Went to tell the second person, before I could actually begin to even say hello properly, they said, isn't it great, so-and-so has become a Christian? Good news travels fast. And it is good news. That's what the gospel actually means, isn't it? Good news. And when we're excited about our relationship with God, it's the most natural thing to tell people about it. That's the only reason I'm standing here today, actually. Probably it's the only reason you're here today. Somebody was excited about their relationship with Jesus such that they wanted to tell you about it. Is that right? Isn't that right? I would say so. Almost in every case, someone, somewhere, was so excited about their relationship with Jesus. It was so real to them, so important to tell you because they loved you, cared for you. And we're excited. One of the people that was really key in my coming to Christ was a guy called Mike Beck. He's a wonderful guy, a missionary, just oozed some of this stuff we've been talking about. He oozed that genuine love relationship with God. And it was very plain that he loved others like myself as well. And he came my way. And just by who he was, how he conducted his life, just drew me to the things of God. And then I wanted to listen to what he had to say. So if that's why we do it, because that we're told to, because of our love for God, and because it's simply good news to tell, how then do we go about it? Well, in essence, it boils down to that one word, isn't it? Love. That's what it's all about. It's why we tell people, and it's also how we tell people. It's through our love, and in a loving way, to share our faith with them. It's not about shoving Christianity down people's throats. We don't have to be weird or pushy, but rather gentle and respectful. 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us of this, and it says, "And in your hearts, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." That's the HP bit, isn't it? Revere Christ as Lord. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Sadly, I don't know what your experience is, but I know when I first came to Christ, I got excited about the things of God, and I wanted to tell people about it. And I think I was a bit overzealous, actually, and found that I was telling people who didn't want to hear. And they began to sort of avoid me. And that made me recoil from having from speaking to others. So I shrank, and I went to a place where I was fearful of speaking about the things of God. And we tend to go to the extremes, don't we? Either overzealous and insensitive, or in fear of telling. We need to find a way, a sustainable, saner way of walking and talking the Christian faith. So how do we tell others? I'm going to give you some pointers, all beginning with P. First of all, presence. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus said this: "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus said, look, you are the salt. You're the people that stops the world going bad or worse than it could be. And you're the light. You bring light to darkened lives, darker situations. You can make a difference. But we can only do that if we're fully engaged in the world around us, with the people around us. The church was never meant to live life in a bubble, separate from the world. We are in the world, the Bible says. Not of it. Present, but distinct, as we were reminded this morning. As Christians, we are to be the most visible and the most active force for good in the world around us and among the people around us. This brings me to the second element of our formula. Okay? HP plus CP. CP, close proximity. Getting close to people. Sharing life with people. Serving people. Loving people. Getting to know them. Earning the right to be heard. And this is in every context of life, at work, among our neighbours, in our community, and especially at home, you know, with husbands and wives, especially if there's a partner who's not yet a Christian. Peter has something to say especially to these folks. In 1 Peter 3:1, Peter speaking to people whose partners are not yet Christians, he says this: "If any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives or husbands when they see the purity and reverence of your life." And they can only do that when you're close up to them. And people can only see your HP when you're CP, when you're close up to them. When folks come along to church or Alpha and we ask the question, "What brought you here?" Very often The answer is, well, I noticed this change in my wife or my husband or my brother or my sister or my friend or my colleague at work. Someone's life affected them. And it drew them to the things of Christ. People see the difference in you when you're walking close with God. Let it show. Get close to them and let them get close to you. That's what happened with Mike. He got closer to me. He shared life with me. He actually helped me practically as well. I remember buying a moped from a friend at work. I was at Cadbury's at the time. And lovely little thing, except I had to pedal it uphill. And it was hard going. It was great on the straight, pedaling uphill. And I didn't know. I thought that was a normal thing for mopeds with pedals. And then I said to Mike, I just bought this moped, and it's okay, but uphill is terrible. He said, let's have a look at it. And he said, your exhaust is blocked. Ah, he said, let's take it off and see what happens. So I took the exhaust off, and it shot up the hill. No more pedaling. He then helped me clean the exhaust and put it on. But things like that, getting close to me, serving me, being near me, drew me to the things that he loved, he believed. And I wanted to listen to what he had to say. And it's the same with you and me, as we share life, as we serve others, day by day. If we want to affect the wider community and impact them with the gospel, we need to be in the mix. We need to seek to make a difference. One of the people in church history and British history who exemplifies this was William Wilberforce. Remember him? William Wilberforce was aged 27 when he sensed God's call to fight against Britain's inhuman, degrading slave trade. 10 million slaves left Africa for the plantations in the year 1787. And in that year, he put down a motion in Parliament about the slave trade. And not a popular cause. But he said this, "So enormous, so dreadful did this wickedness appear that my own mind was completely made up for abolition. Let the consequences be what they would. I, from that time, determined I would never rest until I had effected its abolition." And the rest, as I say, is history. So what about today? What about you and me today? There are needs all around us, aren't there? That we can help meet. Some of them may seem overwhelming, too massive to try to make a difference with, but we can make a difference. How do you change the world? Someone said, one person at a time. Getting alongside people, seeking to meet an individual need, just like we do with CAP and other areas of real need, and make a difference in people's lives. Presence. Secondly, persuasion. Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 4. Speaking of Paul. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue on three Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of them were persuaded. There's a big difference, of course, between persuasion and pressure. I don't know what you're like with regard to pressure. If you go into a shop and someone insists on assisting you, you know, for me, it makes me want to walk out of the shop. And it's even worse, of course, the consequence spiritually when people are pressurized. They shrink and may never come back. One of the people that I felt under pressure from was a missionary guy, another missionary guy, quite a different guy, called Harry. Harry was a fiery Irishman, Christian. And I needed someone to translate at our wedding because Wadia, my wife, her English was very poor. She needed to understand what she was saying yes to when the minister was saying the words of the wedding. And so we wanted someone to translate into Arabic from English. And my Arabic wasn't good enough. And Harry said, yes, but I need to speak to you first. And he cornered me and tried to convert me there and then before he would help. It's the kind of thing I might try to do, but not in the way that he did it. And so I shrank from that pressure. Persuasion is not pressure. We are there to help people to come to an understanding by answering their questions, and also to, even if our answer is, I don't know, but I'll find out and tell you. Back to the earlier scripture we had, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with what? Gentleness and respect. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never met anyone who's converted by losing an argument. Have you? Harry, again. Sometime later, after I'd become a Christian. Actually, Harry was the first man to bring me to Brighton in the late 80s. And when we were here, he came down to help do some outreach at the university, talking about the Arab world, Arab-speaking people. And we met this young man, and it was very evident that Harry was trying to convince him through argument. And it seemed that Harry loved an argument more than he loved the person. It was a lovely guy, but he just had this. He must explain things and convince people. Harry is not like that anymore. He's much wiser now because he's in heaven. He's got a better perspective on things. But that's not the way we do it, is it? It's about gentleness and respect. That means to listen to people and honest about our own questions as well. It's okay for us to have questions. It keeps us humble. And it does help us to seek God for the answers. Again, Mike Beck was a guy who just answered the questions I had. He didn't try to push anything on me, but just simply answered the questions that I had. He was prepared to give a reason for the hope that he had. He didn't try to force me. Presence, persuasion, and proclamation, third P. It's all about communicating the message of Jesus. There are many ways we can do this. You know, there's the indirect way, and there's the direct way. The indirect way is the kind of thing we can all do, and that is simply invite people to come and see. Come and come to a meeting, come to an event, come to where they'll hear something about Jesus, or meet someone who can talk to them about Jesus. John chapter 1. Verse 42 speaks of somebody who did this, Andrew. It says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Greatest service we can render another person is to bring them to a place where they can hear about Jesus. We don't hear very much about Andrew, you know, the fact other than he went around inviting other people. But Simon, of course, became Peter, who affected the lives of millions through his ministry. We can't all be Peters, but we could be Andrews, can't we? Just simply bring people along. Who's heard of Albert MacMakin? Some of you must have done. You'll probably, it'll come to you as I share this quick story. Albert MacMakin invited a teenage son of a farmer to a Christian event, where the young man had heard the message and gave his life to Christ. The farmer's son went on to speak to over 200 million people in person about the Christian faith. And if you add the use of TV and radio, the number goes up to half the world's population. He was a friend and confidant of 9 American presidents. What was his name? You heard of Billy Graham, but not many have heard of Albert MacMakin. We can't be all Billy Grahams, but we can be Albert MacMakins and just invite a friend along to something we know where they'll hear something of the love of God for them. The other thing we could do, of course, is simply to tell people our story. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see Paul again, time and again, telling his story. And we need to be prepared to tell our story. We need to find a simple way of just covering the ground of where we've been, how we came to Christ, what Christ means to us today. And I can't emphasize enough the need to be prepared. The majority of folks here don't share their faith because they're not prepared. There's no reason why we can't be prepared and then ask God to give us the opportunity. It's simply a matter of time, saying, okay, let me structure this in a way that I can quickly remember and retell others. And I will emphasize the point of what it means to be a Christian now. Very important for people. You know, there are stories and stories and stories of people telling their story. You know, 50 years ago, I came to Christ, and it was a wonderful experience, and I gave my life to Christ, and it's been great. And but what people want to know is, well, how is it working now? What's Jesus telling you now? What's your relationship with him now? What difference is it making to you today? So bring your testimony up to date. It's just as important as your decision that you made. Because decisions, you know, is the beginning. It's a journey, isn't it, that we go on. And people need to know what's happening on the journey now in your experience. So when friends ask you to tell the story, it's wonderful. A wonderful tool to have. It's a powerful tool to have because they can argue about the evidence for the resurrection. They can argue about things they perceive to be questionable in the Bible. But they can't argue about your story. They can't argue. When Jesus healed the blind man in John chapter 9, you know the story well, don't you? And all these folks coming around to ask him questions, and the Pharisees asked him all kind of questions about how he got his sight back and what was it really all about. And he says, look, I don't know the answer to all your questions, but I'll tell you this. Once I was blind, now I can see. We can't argue with that. But of course, part of our story is our personal understanding of the gospel. How we understood the message of Christ. And that's important to tell as well. It's not rocket science, is it? It's things you understood that helped you come to faith and me come to faith. What do I understand about God? You know, what's God like? What am I like? What's caused the drift between us and God? How has that been bridged? And simply, again, in a clear, concise way, prepare something that will help you tell his story. And here's a secret. The simpler it is, the more powerful it is. Don't try to overcomplicate, over-explain the gospel. Tell it simply. Find a way of doing it. I use a simple illustration, as a number of you would know. But it doesn't have to be that. The other day, I didn't have a chance to use the illustration, so I had to just tell it, as it were, in a simple form. And somebody believed. And they were here in church today, as a result. But I was prepared. And you need to be prepared as well. Because you never know when someone's ready to hear your story, and then something of God's story as well. Key scriptures. If you want to have a few key scriptures up your sleeve, or in your belt, or wherever you want to keep it. John 3:16, of course. We all know. Well, let's remember it. And set the scene for people. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember Romans 3:23. What's the problem? The problem is we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, the perfection of God. And then there's a consequence. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And on Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. If nothing else, just get those scriptures somewhere on your person, and that will remind you of what to say. Make sure you know them yourself, of course. That brings me to the third element of our formula. HP plus CP plus CC. CC, clear communication. For us to be able to spontaneously share our story with people, we need to rehearse it well, so it will just come naturally and flow. Can you see the importance of being prepared now? Please try to be prepared because you owe it to people who need to hear. It doesn't take that much. You don't have to be a theologian. God wants to use you as you are to touch the lives of people around you, through your story, through your understanding of the gospel. Then ask God for opportunities and his anointing on what you've prepared. That brings us to the fourth P. P, power. Because it isn't all about us. It's about God doing a work. We have the words. He has the works, the power, as it were. He does the work in people's lives. And the one thing that God does is by his Spirit, he helps people to see for themselves and make sense of the cross for themselves and experience something of God's love for themselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says this, Paul writing again, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." So it's not an intellectual exercise. It's the power of God through the Holy Spirit as we invite him to come and make real this message to people that we love and care for. Romans 5:5 says this, "The love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Love is at the heart of it. And it's the experience of God's love that people respond to. This young lady who came up to Alpha, as people shared their story around the table and that they could have this love relationship with God, it's just that the Holy Spirit sensitized her to her own need for God's love. And by not long into the evening, she was just asking, tearfully asking, to know this love, to have this experience in her life. The Holy Spirit, God's power. And, you know, folks experience God's love in all kinds of ways. There's a number of accounts of people who've been on an Alpha course, for example, and they say what it meant for them to come to faith. And these are some of the things they've said. One person says, "An experience like no other. When I was at my lowest point, when nothing seemed right in my life, I asked for forgiveness and for Jesus to enter my life. He did so immediately. I was at peace at last." One person said, "I felt warmth come over me and the feeling of a weight being lifted from my shoulders." Another person says, the inner loneliness left me. Before it was like a disease. Profound feelings of love, compassion and kindness. I cannot now imagine living life without God in my life." Fifth P, prayer. Firstly, pray for yourself, the messenger. It's just as important to pray for yourself as it is for the other people. God will prepare you that through that time of prayer that your HP source would rise, as it were. Source being S-O-U-R-C. The source, get back and receive from him. You've got to be good news. When you tell people about good news, you know, you've got to be real. People need to know that this is real for you. This is alive in you, this message you're speaking. So pray for yourself and then pray for others that God will enable you to clearly and powerfully tell the message and for them to be prepared in their hearts to receive it. Paul often prayed, didn't he, for people. This is what it says in Romans 10:1. "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that they may be saved." And that ought to be your heart's desire for your friends, to often pray for them, that they may be saved, that they may be open to hear this wonderful good news of Jesus. And very often, you know, when someone's faith comes alive, usually somewhere, someone's been praying for them. My dad was a committed Christian. And most of us were not interested, really, in the Christian faith. And he prayed earnestly on his knees every day for us. He never saw me come to faith, but his prayer was answered. He even chose my name from the Bible as Philip the Evangelist. And God answered his prayer. God answers prayer. Who's heard of Tony Campolo? Yeah, a lot of us have. Tony Campolo is an American sociologist, but a great speaker, Christian speaker, often encountering people at their point of need. And a few years ago, he was invited to preach at a Pentecostal church near his home in Pennsylvania. Before the service, the leaders of the church, you're smiling, you've heard this before, leaders of the church laid hands on him, and he prayed for it, and prayed for him. He wanted to get on and preach, but they insisted on going on praying for him. And then they started praying for things in their own lives while they laid their hands on him. One man says, "Oh Lord, be with Charlie Saltfuss, my neighbor. You know Charlie, Lord. He's leaving his wife and three kids today, and he's going off. Lord, we don't know where he's going. Find a miracle to bring him back. He lives at the exit of 14A off the Pennsylvania Turnpike. You know, Lord, in that little trailer park. He's the first one on the right-hand side." Now, Tony's going a bit, "What's going on here? Yeah? Oh, brother," he says, "why is he giving God directions? God knows this guy. God knows where he is. God created him." Tony just wanted to get on and preach. Finally, he's able to preach his sermon. The service is over, he gets into his car, and thankfully starts driving home. He's on the Pennsylvania Turnpike when he sees a hitchhiker holding up a sign, California, another one, New York, another one, Philadelphia. He passes them by, but one guy has a sign that says, "Anywhere." Tony said this to himself, "I'm going to pull over." He pulls over, backs up, and the guy gets in. Tony says, "I'm intrigued by your sign." The guy says, "Yeah, I don't care where I go, I'll go anywhere. I've just had to get away from where I am." Tony says, "But by the way, I'm Tony Campolo. What's your name?" The guy says, "I'm Charlie Saltzoff." So Tony drives on. When they get to the exit 14A, Tony exits the turnpike and starts driving back. The guy says, "Where are you going?" Tony says, "I'm taking you home." The guy says, "Now wait a minute. What do you mean you're taking me home?" Tony says, "You left your wife and your three kids, and I'm taking you home right now." The guy says, "You don't know where I live." Tony says, "Yes, I do. In the trailer park up here, on the first silver trailer on the right." And the guy says, "Well, how do you know that? Who told you?" Tony says, "God told me." He pulls over and goes into the trailer with with Charlie and his wife and spend a time with them. And then a year later, Tony learned that Charlie and his wife had decided to stay together. Their marriage was healed, and then he says, "Today, Charlie is a pastor in California." I wonder if he's developed a ministry to hitchhikers. God answers prayer. In my case, it was a gradual thing. This was an almost immediate thing that God did. And there's no length to which God won't go to bring us to himself. We pray for others, and God answers our prayers. But we also pray for ourselves. Yeah, and when you start telling people about Jesus, some may be open, and that's wonderful. Some may resist, and that's to be expected. But don't stop. Don't stop. There's always someone in whose life God is working. And you may be, and probably are, the only key to their life. So keep praying. Keep sharing your life with others. Even if there's a negative reaction, don't stop. The gospel is good news. Jesus is good news. The power of God, it says, to change lives, and it powerfully impacts people. And that brings me to our final element of the formula. HP plus CP equals CC, sorry, plus CC equals MI. MI. If you want to impact others for God, and by God's love, get close to God. Get close to people. Get a good grasp of the gospel and be prayed up to tell others. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the exciting good news we have to share. It was exciting good news to us, Lord, and it hasn't changed. Help us, Lord, to live it out so people can see how exciting, how good it is to know you, how essential it is to know you, to know your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your promise of eternal life. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who's hearing this good news for the first time, that they're loved by you, that they matter to you, would you please help them to open their hearts to you now? May they know something of your love, touching their lives by your Spirit. And may we be there for them to help them on their journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.